Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews Movie News. This week, it's the Gruesome Twosome. We have Jonathan Charney and James Stevens. This week's question is, what is your favorite superpower, and what to you is the lamest? And our answers in a bit. So we got some interesting movie news. Okay, I don't know if they're interesting, but, well, you'll see. The first one, He Who Shall Not Be Named, apparently is in the news again on another movie, doing another movie. This time it's with, was it James McAvoy?
Mm-hmm. One of the douchebags from that era.
So I'll be completely honest. As you can obviously tell, Real Flicks Reviews doesn't like M. Night Shyamalan. And what was the reason?
Is that what the fuck I say it?
Yeah.
Because he's a ripoff.
No.
And you can't say Ong. It's not Ong, it's Aang. It was in there for you.
Ding, 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 ding. And circle. Gets the square.
God, there was seasons of it. Seasons of Aang, not Ong.
And they said his, he said, they
and
said
the, his, they it was, at least, the entire script was written for you, dude.
And they said it, his name at least once in every episode, usually more than that.
Yeah.
So I'll be honest, the headline that I read was, you know, it's not a triumph and it's not a tragedy, but it will be a triumph if we actually watch this movie, because I'll be completely honest, I don't care, I don't like him. So I will say, the movies, we were actually talking about this before the show started, Unbreakable was a really good movie. I thought it was fairly revolutionary at the time. It was a superhero, realistic superhero movie. By the way, still think it's rare because the movies they call realistic and superheroes are still very comic booky. And then The Sixth Sense, that to me, I don't remember ever seeing a movie like that ever.
You know, The Sixth Sense was groundbreaking for its time. I mean, I was used to that type of stuff. I read a lot of Alfred Hitchcock. I read a lot of other mystery novels and books and things. So it was
the way they did this with his, you know, patented twist.
It still was kind of just a no-brainer for me and what was going on. But I mean, there. But as far as the general audience getting blown away by it, and the fact that how they went around it with Haley Joel Osment at the time, it was really well done. I will say that. So there is a couple things, but every idiot can, you know, hit a straight.
I liked The Village. It was predictable. Pretty much 10 minutes in. Oh, hey, this happens. This, and bingo.
I will go on another long rant like I did right before we started this segment.
I actually had to stop him because I want to go home before midnight. This next piece of news, I don't know if I'm happy or sad about this. Because Carrie Fisher passed away, they promised she won't be digitally recreated.
Yeah, they've talked about a new actress becoming a young version of Princess Leia. I don't remember her name. Mia something?
The reason why I'm bummed about this, because I think you could digitally recreate her on a communication screen, fudge it up a little bit so it doesn't look as good.
Well, if that's the case, get rid of Jared Leto. And replace him with Brokeback. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I don't know. Part of this is because, to me, she's so integral to the story. I don't know how you do Star Wars without Carrie Fisher. And I honestly mean this. Even though people would say, oh, she's not the most important piece, yada, yada, yada. I think she's one of the driving forces.
She's a key character, I would say. I wouldn't say that she's pivotal for it. I mean, even as far as I'm concerned, Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, Chewie, and all those guys, they aren't necessary for the Star Wars universe. If I was going to say anything, it would be, you know, a Yoda type of character or Yoda thing or the Skywalker name being pivotal for the Star Wars universe, although they really didn't do much to that in Rogue One.
I haven't seen Rogue One.
Oh, you haven't seen
Rogue One? It's one of the movies that are on my list, but I've been a little busy.
You know, I actually watched it. I know that there are some people that are just diehard on it. I just kind of felt meh on it. I really do. I mean, it's nice to know where everything came from, and nice to know where when Princess Leia goes. A lot of good people died for these plans. You kind of get the idea of what it entailed to get those. But, I mean, honestly, it was just a meh. It kind of seemed like something that Disney put out just to placate fans until they put out the next Star Wars.
See, I don't know. I haven't seen it.
That's really how I feel about it.
From what I've heard, a lot of people wanted this because this is really, I don't know, I'd say this is like 3.5. You know, far as if you want to talk about the universe of 1, 2, 3.
You're kind of throwing in what they did with the Battlestars.
Yeah, this is kind of...
This is like an inner movie into...
Yeah, this kind of interconnects canon-wise between what happened at the end of 3 and what happened at the beginning of 4.
Well, that's why you got a bunch of fans out there ranting, raving for Boba Fett movies. I don't care about Boba Fett. I never have.
No, see, that's the weird thing for me. Everybody was like, oh, I love Boba Fett. It's just like, you know, to me, he was the dude who got tossed in the Sarlacc pit or whatever.
I know, what he had, like, maybe 3 minutes of screenplay in the original releases. 3 minutes, people!
That's why I was really surprised he became so popular.
Yeah.
You know, I'm more interested in the Han Solo movie, honestly.
See, I'm not even that interested in it. I want to see something like Old Republic, and I want to see stuff...
You mean away from the Skywalkers? You want like way past one?
Yeah, I mean Disney's put out a teaser to see how fans would feel about a young Yoda.
That would be cool.
I'm interested in that. They never tell you who trained Yoda. They just tell you that Yoda trained the best lightsaber duelist of all time, but you never say who trained Yoda.
I would be definitely interested in more in-depth.
And did he become a Jedi at age 10, age 100?
I'll be honest, I'm a little bit more interested in before the Republic, like maybe the early days of the Force.
How they actually got into dark side and light side.
Yeah, like something that explains the nitty gritty, the separation.
Oh gosh,
I
can't remember who the original Sith was. It starts with a B.
I think that would be cool just to have, you know, something like that. I mean, I don't know. I really do like
Star Wars. Other than reading the Star Wars wiki, that's the only reason why I even know that there was guys out there before the rule of two. There didn't used to be a rule of two, people.
The problem with that is how much is canon. Because a lot of that was part of the extended universe, which is now, I think, called the Legacy Universe.
No, they do have the Star Wars wiki broken up into canon and non-canon.
Oh, okay.
And they do tell you which is which.
And I've got more meh news for you. Everybody's favorite annoying wall crawler is apparently going to be in the next Avengers Infinity War. And I'll be honest, I was a Spider-Man fan. I'm really tired of the live-action Spidey because he's not my favorite version of Spider-Man. My favorite Spider-Man is a loudmouth jackass who's annoying, and none of the versions from Tobey Maguire 2. And I'm going to just keep that because, well, why not?
And, I'm good with it.
And Andrew Garfield or Garfunkel.
And who's the newest kid?
I actually don't know. See, he to me is a little bit unknown because, A, it's the first young person who looks young, doesn't look fucking 20.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking forward to see how it goes, but I'm just expecting another very craptastic version of Spider-Man.
That's what I'm expecting.
And at this point, I'm actually thinking, okay, because they're doing Spider-Man Homecoming. I think it's supposed to be with this kid, so we'll see how that goes. That was part of the deal, I think. And this one's done by Marvel, not by Sony, or whoever actually technically owns the rights.
You know, I kind of like with you, I'm over the superhero kick. Like, I mean, one of the things you're talking about before the show was, you know, I rewatched Suicide Squad recently. And I just thought about this, is, you know, Ben Affleck's Batman is so bad that I'm even okay with, and it's not necessarily that the character is bad, it's just the way the portrayal of Batman is. Like, he does things that normal Batman would not do.
You mean, besides the fact in Batman versus Superman, he killed a lot of people with guns, something that Batman doesn't like.
Yeah, and then in Suicide Squad, he uses Deadshot's daughter to manipulate him? Come on, really? You know, but they...
No, but don't forget about, Batman would manipulate people. But he wouldn't do it in front of his daughter, and he wouldn't have gotten a tip from Amanda Waller.
That's true. But the thing that they're hinting at is that this Ben Affleck Batman is going to have movies where he's going toe-to-toe with Jared Leto's version of the Joker. I'm okay with that, because I really don't give a crap about either character. I mean, I think Jared Leto's Joker is one of the worst ones done since Jack Nicholson. I would say it's even worse than Jack Nicholson.
I still like his Joker. It's not the version of the Joker that I love.
Well, this is before Mark Hamill's Joker, though. I mean, Jack Nicholson didn't have that. He had the Mexican guy from 60s. The Bat-Pap-Zap Batman.
Yeah, 1960s.
He had the Mexican guy who was playing Joker. And yes, that was a Mexican guy playing the Joker, people.
I see. I liked Jared Leto's version of Joker. It's not the psychopath, intelligent Spanish, guy. I don't know. So we'll see. I mean, I don't really know.
It seemed like too much of a wannabe gangster.
No, that I agree with.
He wanted to be like... He even had bling, guys. Joker doesn't have bling.
So, and probably... How am I going to put this? And probably in the most blatant way to really destroy my childhood... Everybody's unfortunately favorite actress, Mila Jovovich, wants to play Chitara in a Thundercats movie. No. 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 Go back to your really crappy acting. The last movie you made that was any good was in the 90s, so do me a favor. Fuck off. Your movies, The Resident Evil, have sucked since the second or third one.
Well, we got to put it this way. What would you have said if someone like Brad Pitt got stuck in Cool World?
So here's the thing. Mila Jovovich...
I'm not saying she's a female Brad Pitt. No.
What I'm saying is, for one, I'm not the biggest fan of hers. Her previous movie she's done, i.e. Resident Evil, has kind of tainted her image a little bit.
Yeah, but you love Multipass.
Part of the image, though, for me... is she can't be Chitara. For one, she's not that tall. If you're going to have a character who allegedly runs fast, have somebody that's freaking tall. Or, i.e., if it's going to be animation...
Uma Thurman?
Oh, God. I don't know. See, it just really... If it's an animated one, I still don't want her. If it's a live-action one, I really don't want her.
I don't want her to screw up the role. Let me just put it that way. I don't want her to screw up the role, but, you know, it's one of those where, you know, you never really know. I mean, because...
No,
you're
right.
You got somebody like Brad Pitt, who was the heartthrob of a lot of ladies from back in the day. He screwed up his career with Cool World, but redeemed himself over and over again since then.
For one, I don't see Thundercats being a redeeming role, honestly. Don't get me
wrong. For any character. And Brad Pitt was... tease to be a Thundercat too.
Don't get me wrong, Thundercats is very important to me as a cartoon because it's one of my all-time favorites as being a child. But no, this is not going to save anybody's career. It'll be a B movie at first. It'll probably get a medium to small release. It'll make a bunch of movie money probably from people like me who will buy a copy of it. Just, you know, putting it out there. Plus, in fact, the last time it was actually on the air was in the 80s. Talk about when it's brand new. It's been on a few channels like Cartoon Network since then. But, I mean, there has been a reboot. Allegedly, there's going to be a third reboot of the series. By the way, check out the second reboot. It was actually, to me, as a huge fan of it, was actually fairly tastefully done.
That was. I saw bits and pieces of it.
For that being said... We do have a Facebook page. If there's movie news or a movie you'd love us to review, please let us know.
I guess that's saying that we're going over time.
The other thing is we do now have an audio podcast version of the show. It's all available on Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, and more. So, our favorite and lamest superpower.
Yeah. I almost forgot about that.
So, let me just start with lamest superpower. I wish Ryan was here to hear this because the lamest superpower is talking to fucking fish. I mean, come on.
You know, I almost went there, but then you got to think, like, if somebody, a supervillain goes man overboard, you could just tell the sharks to go after him.
Come on, he's practically the incredible Mr. Limpet. I mean, there's
Mr. Limpet?
There's, you know what that is?
Yes, I know.
There's no redeeming power to this. Like, hey, octopus, grab that man. And the guy's like, hey, calamari, thanks.
but he could really say, release the Kraken and actually mean it.
Yes, but still, I mean, come on. It's the lamest superpower ever next to, what was it, The Question?
Oh, jeez. The Question didn't have any superpowers. He was just a... He was just a detective.
I was going to go...
Without the money, like Batman.
I was actually going to stretch the question and say Batman has my favorite superpower, i.e. being money or mind, but technically I don't know if that would count, at least not by traditional means. So I would have to say my favorite superpower, and I don't believe I'm going to say this. Hold on.
I'm sorry.
Flying, Superman. Flying to me would be the greatest superpower because it means I wouldn't get stuck in traffic. I wouldn't have to own a car. I could just fly wherever I want to go.
Okay. I guess since he started with the lamest superpower, I mean, I got to throw Mr. Fantastic under the bus. I mean, you'd survive.
Way to go, Rubber Band Man. I mean, come on.
But, I mean, that has always been one of the most ridiculous ones for me. It's like, I am Mr. Fantastic, and I'm Elastoman. You know, Mr. Fantastic, that's the name you're going to go with, really?
Yeah, because there's nothing fantastic about the guy that can tie himself in a knot.
Yeah. Although there is that one, like, half-hero, half-villain guy that decided to throw a bunch of money at himself and run around. I forget his name. I forget the guy's name.
Like, there's a Plastic Man?
Yeah, Plastic Man. Yes, Plastic Man.
Oh, by the way, if you want to watch a hilarious cartoon, check out Plastic Man. I won't spoil it for you, but it's hilarious.
It is pretty funny.
It's dated. It's really dated.
Now, I would have to say the best superpower, and the reason why is because some of the best superheroes out there have it. Rapid healing. Deadpool. Wolverine. The possibilities are unlimited as to what you could get put through and survive and come out with other powers.
You know, honestly, from knowing you for 20 years, you practically have that ability as it stands.
Yeah, but as I get older, it doesn't work as well. Just like Wolverine.
That's hilarious.
It's true. I don't heal as fast as I used to.
I totally agree on the Mr. Fantastic, because there's nothing fantastic about Mr. Fantastic. It's kind of like watching a fat stripper. I mean, there's nothing good about the character. He does have the intelligence factor, which is probably the only redeeming thing, and
yeah,
also gets him in the most trouble.
Yeah, but that doesn't come with being elastic, though.
No. It does seem to get him in the most trouble, though.
Yeah. Oh, and just as a tidbit on a side note, I thought this was hilarious, and maybe you people out there watching the show that I'm going to mention in a second find this hilarious as well. But from Heroes, there was an actress called Claire Bennett, you know what I'm talking about?
Very vaguely.
She's playing a cripple on Nashville.
Really?
You know what her power was on Heroes?
Mm-mm.
Extreme healing. Okay, and she's funny. In a wheelchair from a car accident or something. I forget what it was.
That's interesting.
I thought it was hilarious. She plays somebody with a fantastic healing powers, and now she's a cripple. Sorry.
You know, you're the only person who would ever get away with saying that. You know that, don't you?
I don't care. I really don't.
And the next piece of movie news, and I'm actually excited about this, and in the I don't believe it pile that I'm excited. There's going to be a second Mad Max movie, and allegedly there's going to be a spin-off of Charlize Theron's character, too.
I really wasn't a fan of the remake.
I really liked it. One of the reasons I liked it was because it was a lot of traditional effects, and I want anything that does traditional effects to make it and make it big. I want Hollywood to realize that we all don't want to, you know, taste the color, the Technicolor rainbow.
I just feel they were going for too much nostalgia.
Oh, no, hardcore.
So that's where it lost me. It's like, I've been here, done this. I've lived through the 80s.
No, I agree. It's a very nostalgia. Honestly, Mad Max, to begin with, was not a really good movie. The first one, The Road Warrior, you know, Thunderdome, entertaining, but I wouldn't call it quality cinema.
Oh, but you love Beyond Thunderdome?
No, it was at least amusing.
It's just punk apocalyptic.
It is.
You know, I mean,
come on, that stuff's been in a rap.
You got steampunk, you got apocalyptic punk. It's just the same crap.
I did like it, though. I mean, but I'll be honest, I have not seen it since then, so there is the rewatchability factor that I haven't been able to judge.
There's no rewatchability for me on it. I've seen it, I'm not going back.
Because I do have that, for me, there's a lot of movies, like, for some reason, I don't remember what I did yesterday, but after reading descriptions of, you know, say if there's a movie I watched 30 years ago, I'll remember the movie after I read the description and go, oh, God, no.
It's just, for me, it's like a kid handing me a Play-Doh cookie. I'm not going to take another bite.
One of these days I'll see it.
I'll pretend
again.
From now on, but I'm not eating another one.
So yeah, I don't know. I'll be definitely see how well it goes. I mean, I'm somewhat excited, I'm somewhat not. You know who I'd like to see another movie and another movie to do it well? I want to see another Constantine. But I want to see it without Keanu. I want to see it less comic booky. And when I mean comic booky, it is a comic book, but I meant it was over the top. It wasn't. I want it real. I want it more in Nolan's universe versus whoever actually made it.
I thought it was Wachowski, wasn't it?
I want it a little bit darker. I thought the movie had potential. The only issue being a comic book movie, I do think you're going to lose the original audience for it.
Yeah.
So we'll definitely see what happens with that. Let's see. So what do you think about there being a Black Panther
Francis
movie?
Oh, Francis Lawrence.
Allegedly,
just a meh.
From what I recently read, and by this is a very quick read, I found out they said it's supposed to be about when he was a child, he was basically learning in America. You know, he was that part of it.
I'm not interested. I mean, I Black Panther was not a character I was really interested in.
I liked the character, but I'll be honest, I'm kind of burned out in Marvel movies. The last one I was excited for was Doctor Strange, solely based on the fact I love the character more than I love Marvel.
And I think they did justice.
And then there's Deadpool that I was really looking forward to.
Again, they did justice to
but
that
I
one.
Still haven't seen Civil War. I have no reason. I don't have no wanting.
That's not as great. I mean, it's nice to see the Scarlet Witch, but they really threw her under the bus in that universe. Really threw under the bus.
She needed Mr. Fantastic. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of burned. I'm waiting for movies that are better.
I want to see the Old Man Logan.
Old Man Logan looks interesting.
Ryan Reynolds is trying to get fans to talk Hugh Jackman into doing a Deadpool-Wolverine crossover.
I think that would be awesome.
I don't know. I really think... After he does this one, he needs to walk away. I really do, because of how bad that they did with such a great actor that fit the Logan character perfectly, and how horrible of movies they portrayed him in.
No, I agree. I totally agree.
And do him justice and walk away.
I do want to give a little bit of shout out to Shunk Films.
Yes.
They did a girl and her gun. You can actually watch it now live. We have the link on our Facebook page. They're doing a movie, apparently they're supposed to be filming soon, called Cell. Real Flix Reviews is all about promoting independent filmmakers around the world, and obviously we really loved A Girl and a Gun.
That was a good one.
So I'm looking forward to, personally, to their next film. I'm really hoping we get a chance to review it. They actually asked us to do it, and so I'm hoping we get asked again, because anytime we can highlight an independent filmmaker, you know.
We've done a lot of movie shorts. It's one that sticks out in my memory.
It's pretty much one of the few that I still remember. So, ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and the ever-absent Ryan Preston, see you next week.